Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Go look at the Greek word. The Greek word is apostasia.
You gotta go to the Greek.
Yeah, from which apostasy comes, but that's a derivation. The word apostasia means a radical departure or a snatching away.
Okay. That's good. Because I knew I'd get some feedback on that one.
Harpazo is a different word.
Same meaning? Similar meaning?
It doesn't have the dual meaning. It's more a singular meaning. Sometimes God uses a word that can mean more than one thing and means both.
Like and?
Like Alma. Like Alma. So verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Paul slapping them a little bit, you know, slapping them around. And now you know what is restraining. What's restraining the false Messiah? We are. Suppose there was today a 7-year covenant being confirmed by this charismatic world leader. What would we all be doing? That's him. Yeah. He says, for because the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. So Paul says, in his own day, and he died in around the year 65, the mystery of lawlessness, that is teaching that God's commandments are not to be followed anymore, was already being taught by the false teachers. Says only he, or should be it. In Hebrew, there is no it. There's only he and she, and they're used for it. Only it, that's the believers, the church, who now restrains, will do so until it is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one, referring clearly to Daniel 7, will be revealed. So the false Messiah cannot be revealed until we are out of here. Whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's Revelation 19, 11 and following. Yeah, I'm getting to a point. Sorry, long drawn out. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. That means Satan gives the false Messiah and his false prophet the power to do miraculous signs. The false prophet will call down fire from heaven on command. You think that impresses people? It does. He says, this is your God sitting on the throne and I can prove it. Let me call down fire from heaven, and fire comes. And people are going to be deceived. Verse 10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because here's why they're perishing. Here's why they believe the deception. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, because they rejected God, they rejected Messiah, they rejected the Torah and his commandments, God will send them strong delusion if they should believe the lie.
Wayne?
Yes.
The reason the prophets of Baal couldn't call down fire, but he will be able to in the...
Yes, because God did not permit it.
But so it's just a change in his...
But he's going to allow it. Why is he going to allow it?
To cause a delusion for people to...
Correct. Where was it prophesied?
Yes,
in Deuteronomy 13. So keep a finger here and go back to Deuteronomy 13. God told us it was coming. Amos says God does nothing unless he first reveals it through his servants, the prophets. Deuteronomy 13. If you know the Torah, if you believe the Torah, you would never fall for this deception. The last verse of chapter 12 of Deuteronomy says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it if, chapter 13 begins. Remember, originally there were no chapter breaks. If there arises among you a prophet, think of the false prophet of Revelation 13 that you don't know about because we haven't gotten there yet, or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, like calling down fire from heaven, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, that is to worship the false Messiah sitting on the throne in the temple, which you've not known, let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you. Who's testing you? The Lord your God is testing you. He allows him to call down fire to see if people will follow after a false god because of the sign or wonder.
So it's kind of a lot like the Talit coming down with all the money. It's a test.
It's a test. And Peter knew that. Peter passed. He said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean. So it goes on. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. So the false Messiah will have these lying wonders. Okay, go back to Revelation 8 because that was a long Ibex trail. But that is what I believe the smoke represents, is this delusion, the spiritual blindness that will cause people to begin to accept the false Messiah as God. I've heard a lot of teachers say recently that the Jews are going to accept the false Messiah as the true Messiah when the tribulation period begins. Is that anywhere in Scripture? Nowhere I know of. It is a common teaching, but I prefer to see what does the Bible say. So back to Revelation 9, verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit and... I'm going to mute that little child, as wonderful as she is. Verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is full of fallen angels that we call demons. And smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. What is the mission of the demons? To mislead mankind, to draw them away from God. Verse 3, then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Are these literal locusts, grasshoppers flying around? No, this is symbolic. Out of the smoke, demonic forces go forth, and they have power to torture and torment, but not to kill. Let's go back to Joel chapter 1 for a moment. Joel chapter 1. This is not the first time that God has used the word locust in a symbolic sense. Joel chapter 1. Verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Joel, in Hebrew, Ya'el, means the Lord is God. Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? The answer to that is no. This is going to be something miraculous that's never, ever happened before. Verse 3, tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children another generation. Here it is, verse 4. What the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the crawling locust has eaten. What the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. Three swarms of locusts. But what it represents is the Assyrian captivity, then the Babylonian captivity, and then the Roman diaspora of 70 AD. That is still not yet complete. So what did the locusts represent? Warfare, bloodshed, death, destruction. Let's look also at the book of Job. Or Job, if you prefer. Job chapter 1. Verse 9. So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and around his household and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. What's the significance of those verses?
Well, it's the same as happening now. If you, Jonathan Cahn, removing the hedge of protection, I think it's the same thing, isn't it? Test.
Satan needs God's permission. Right? Mm-hmm. Satan needs God's permission. And what's happening in the book of Revelation is God is allowing Satan to reach out and deceive those who have made a decision to reject God. They will not follow him. So the Lord allows Satan to go forth to deceive and to lead people to destruction. Not anyone who believes in the Lord, only those who have rejected him. Another teaching that's not anywhere in the Bible is that the entire world will be under the control of the false Messiah through the 7-year tribulation period. Mm-hmm. If you read in the book of Daniel, there are groups of nations that fight against the false Messiah. So he may eventually get control of the world, but it's not from day one. You guys are looking at me like, where is that? Let's go to Daniel chapter 11. When someone takes the mark of the beast, they're his. But they chose. They made the decision. In Daniel chapter 11, we talk about the abomination of desolation and the rise of the false Messiah. We'll start in verse 36. "Then the king," which is referring to the false Messiah, "shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god." That's just what 2 Thessalonians 2 said, right? "Shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished." That is, until the great tribulation is over. "For what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all. But in their place he shall honor a god of fortresses," meaning military might. He puts faith in military weaponry. "And a god which his fathers did not know he shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign god, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory, and shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him," him being the false Messiah, "and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, horsemen, with many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through." So he will defeat militarily the king of the south and the king of the north. So he's initially opposed. "He shall also enter the glorious land." Is that the United States?
Nope,
that's Israel. "And many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape from his hand: Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon." That's Jordan of today. That's where Petra is. False Messiah cannot get control over Petra. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. Okay, back to Revelation chapter 9. Verse 4. What came out of the pit? Smoke. And out of the smoke came the demons that are like scorpions, that are as numerous as locusts to cover the land. And they have the power, verse 4, it says, they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So those that have been saved, sealed by the Holy Spirit, these demons cannot harm. So if you remember, the 144,000 were sealed. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 6. No, chapter 7. We'll look at chapter 7, starting in verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. The four winds represent the wars that are coming. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. When we looked at chapter 7, we studied that that was the Holy Spirit. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And then it lays out the 144,000, 12,000 from each of 12 tribes. I didn't say the 12 tribes because the tribe of Dan is not mentioned, but Joseph is in there twice. Okay, so back to Revelation 9, verse 4. They, these demonic spirits, are commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So these things like locusts that sting like scorpions are going to be chasing people. And like in Egypt, when the plagues fell, did they fall on everybody or just the Egyptians? Just the Egyptians, not on the Jews, because they were God's people. Even so, these demonic entities can torture those who have not been sealed. They've not been saved by faith in the Lord our God. Verse 5 says, and they were not given authority to kill them. They were not given authority. Who's in charge? God's in charge. He allows them to torment, but not to kill. They were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. How many of you have been stung by a scorpion? Not fun, is it? What's that? For 5 months, they're going to get to have their way and go around and sting people and inflict all kinds of punishment and harm. Can't kill. Yeah. We're getting real close to the midpoint. At the midpoint, a lot of changes are going to happen. Verse 6. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. So they're being stung all over by these locust-type, scorpion-type critters. And it hurts terribly, such that you want to die it so bad, but you can't die. That would be awful. Verse 7, the shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. John is trying to describe, in terms 2,000 years ago, what he's observing in these days. And the best he can do is, they're like little horses. You know, that's kind of interesting. What is the government working on these days? No, our government even. Miniaturized drones and miniaturized weapons. They have little miniaturized cockroach looking things for surveillance that you can drive a truck over and it won't crush them, to be released in the battlefield to scurry around in the dirt and observe. What else are they making these little things to do? Heaven only knows. It says, on their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. How big are they? How small? It doesn't really say. But if they're like locusts or like scorpions, you would think they're fairly small. Verse 8, they had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. So whether this is a man-made creation or whether these are the demonic spirits themselves, it's really hard to say. Verse 9, they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, which means you can't stomp them and kill them. They're hard. They're very difficult to stomp. So they have stubborn resistance and they are impenetrable. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. So exactly what they are, we cannot say. One thing I want you to do is turn back to the book of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, there are some angels that God commands to take out a marking instrument and mark people. Let's see, where exactly is that in Ezekiel? The inkhorn. It's early in the book.
Prior to the, with the, in Egypt, marking those for the destroyer to pass over.
Mm-hmm. Let me grab the computer here for just a minute.
Is it Ezekiel 9?
Probably. Ezekiel 9. Yes, it is. Start in verse 1 of Ezekiel 9. Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, let those who have charge over the city, talking about angelic hosts, draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. And suddenly 6 men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhorn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's inkhorn at his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. To the others he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eye spare, nor have pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women, but do not come near anyone on whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. What literally happened was the Babylonian army came in and carried out the destruction. So the angels are directing the Babylonian army. You can attack here, you cannot attack there. So it looks like the angels are going through with their battle axes and killing people, but that's not what happened. That's just the way it was described to us in apocalyptic terms. So back in Revelation 9, we don't know whether the demons that are released from the pit are carrying out the pain and stinging, or whether they're directing machinations of man. Okay. Revelation 9, verse 10. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men for 5 months. So for 5 months, they can go out and sting anybody they want to, unless they're sealed by the true and living God. How do we know that out of that pit in the smoke came demonic forces? How do we know that? Verse 11 tells us that. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. Sorry?
What was your question? We were questioning.
The question that I had asked is, how do we know that it's demonic forces that are being released from that bottomless pit? They have a king over them. And the king over them is the angel of the bottomless pit. So he's a fallen angel who rules over the demonic forces, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek has the name Apollyon. We've seen those names before. Where have we seen those names before? Let's go first to the book of Job. Job chapter 26. Job 26, verse 6. Sheol is naked before him. What is Sheol? Sheol is the waiting place for the souls of those who have died. It says, and destruction has no covering. That word destruction is Abaddon. The same word that appears in Revelation chapter 9. And then in Job chapter 28, verse 22, Job 28, verse 22 says, destruction and death say, we have heard a report about it with our ears. That word destruction is Abaddon. It's a being. It's a fallen angel. That's why it speaks. It's not just an abstract destruction concept. It's literally demonic forces. Go to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 11. It says, hell and destruction are before the Lord, so much more the hearts of the sons of men. The word hell there is actually the word Sheol, which is the waiting place for the souls of the dead. And destruction is literally Abaddon. So it tells us that the Lord is God over all things, including the satanic and well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible, so you can listen online or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.